morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome and thanks for joining us on this second episode of the Blue Notes podcast. Welcome, Rhys.
Hi, Divya.
And very happy new year. Hope your 2024 is off to a good start to you there.
Thanks, Divya. Same to you. Happy new year. It's good to be back.
Good to be back, indeed. And the Blue Tech team are just back from a nice trip to Lisbon, a company-wide team trip to Lisbon, where we had a good time there, catching up, setting objectives for 2024 and reviewing our research calendar and all the work that we're planning to do this year for our clients. So very exciting to be here. Let's get right into it. I want to talk about how we ended 2023. Certainly on a high, we ended it with our end of year webinar, which was very successful. If you're looking for a summary or if you're looking for a recording of that webinar, it's available on the Blue Tech Intelligence platform for your reference. The webinar itself is available as well as the slides for download. But let's maybe look at what we covered in the month of December, because it was kind of a summary, to some degree, it was a summary of some of the key things that we've been noticing, witnessing over 2023, particularly looking at patterns and investments.
Exactly, yeah. So we looked back at some of the key trends in terms of investments and patent activity in the water sector. And that was, as you said, part of Blue Tech's Water Almanac end of year briefing. Yeah. And in the latest monthly intelligence briefing, I've gone into some of the detail on that, just looking back at some of the, for example, the top 10 patent applicants. So the company submitting the most patents across that 12-month period that we analyzed. And that brings us Evoqua, Ecolab, Organo, Veolia, Chimera, Suez, MetaWater, Xylem, Kubota, and Silviosis. So some you would expect there and some not necessarily. It's an interesting spread.
It is indeed. So those are the 10 top patent applicants. Any interesting patents that you want to comment on that they've applied for that have jumped out to us?
Yeah, we thought Evoqua's work on electrochemical treatment for brackish water to produce drinking water was particularly striking. Yeah. Very relevant to direct potable reuse and indirect potable reuse. So we'll be talking a bit more about reuse a bit later in the podcast. And Organo had something very interesting on the removal of boron, which is a key impurity in lithium refining. And of course, lithium, a big theme for this year as well.
Yeah, no, certainly. We have just for the sake of our clients, we have a dedicated patent watch database on our platform where you can review these patents in more detail or indeed make your way to the December 2023 intelligence briefing, where we list these exact top 10 applicants and what Rhys is outlining here, these patents specifically. So if you want to look into this article a bit more, there's more information in the December 2023 edition. Let's maybe talk about investments, because that was another area we summarized in December. What's happened over 2023?
Absolutely. So we analyzed over 60 investment deals, adding up to a total of $960 million. Over the 12-month period, and we sorted them by investor types and thematic areas, which was quite interesting. So the area attracting the most investment was zero liquid discharge and brine management. Although I should note that a big, big chunk of that was taken up by one company, Gradient, with its Series D investment. But coming in behind that, we had AgTech and Smart Irrigation, resource recovery, so covering the whole range of nutrient recovery, water avoidance. Well, that's an interesting issue, being water efficient rather than necessarily focusing on reuse or desal or new sources.
Yeah, all key themes, Rhys, that we'll continue to track over 2024. Interesting, yeah, good. Interesting comment on the ZLD, brine management. That certainly seems to be a very active area, investment area, with you know, certainly that Gradient deal pulling in you know, about 80% of that $296 million investment in that space.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot going on. It shows a very dynamic water sector altogether. There's lots of deals going on, lots of transactions, lots of patents. It's very active.
Okay, what else did we cover in December?
So we... In the spirit of looking back over the year, we wanted to take a closer look at what's been happening in France. Last year was the year that France really got serious about water reuse. They had a very severe water supply crisis, which led to President Macron announcing in March that they're going to have a national water scarcity plan. And at the time, things were very bad. They had record 32 days without rain. 80% of France's groundwater resources dropped to abnormally low levels. And at one point, they even temporarily banned drinking tap water in four municipalities up in the Pyrenees. So it was
Wow.
quite extreme. And to try and avoid restrictions like this in the future, France is doing a lot of things, but the main key thing is they're going to bring up the amount of wastewater they reuse massively. At the moment, they just treat 1% of their wastewater compared to 8% in Italy and 10% in Spain. So they're going to bring that up to 10%. So that's really quite huge volumes.
That's a significant increase from 1% to 10%. Do we know over what timeline?
Yeah, the idea is to achieve this by 2030, so hugely ambitious.
Wow.
They've planned over 1,000 new reuse projects. The government's going to commit 180 million euros a year from this year onwards, for leakage, which will of course help the overall water supply issue. And France has issued a number of decrees and laws to make it easier to establish reuse projects.
So big, this is going to mean big things for France. What does it mean for the global water industry? Who is going to be able to take advantage of this new market or this new opportunity?
Well, this is going to affect the market in France, of course, and the immediate winners are companies already present with large amounts of technologies in their portfolio, like Nyhaus Sauer and Veolia, both already in a strong position in France. In fact, Veolia inaugurated the first one of the France's first reused drinking water plants last year, and this is part of the wider European context as well. The European Union's water reuse roadmap was also implemented last year, and that, also is pushing this whole sector forward.
Very interesting. Continue to track this space for sure. Okay, moving on. We looked at a couple of technologies that have been making movements as well. One is the Suez Dehydrous Ultra technology.
Yeah, this is very interesting technology. It's sort of provides, in a sense, ultra dewatering of municipal or industrial sludge. So it combines a number of processes. It combines thermal hydrolysis and hydrothermal carbonization with a Buca piston press. So it puts all these technologies together to achieve 65% total solids content, which is very high for sludge, and it can produce 30 to 40% more biogas. And it's really quite an exciting technology. It's been around for a little while, but the news is it's going back to France. Its first full scale installation happened last year, and that's in Pau in France. And that's going to be serving 200,000 people, and was commissioned last year.
Wow, significant milestone for the company and certainly the technology.
Exactly, yeah. What another case of watch this space.
Yep, absolutely. And then finally, the other technology is the technology, the nanobubble technology from the company Molaire, that seems to be really making headlines. Molaire have been in the news quite a number of times last year, and the company's seen incredible growth.
Exactly, yeah. We've been following them at BlueTech for quite a long time now, and they've seen really spectacular growth. I mean, if you look in monthly intelligence briefing, we've got a chart of their installations, and it's as you mentioned to me the other day, it's the perfect hockey stick. It's just shooting up. 2,400 installations globally,
At
and
the end of 2023, bearing in mind the company was founded in 2016, so that's not long at all to reach that level of that scale of commercial sales.
yeah, exactly. It's almost moving, micro bubble and nano bubble technology into unicorn market status almost all by itself at the moment. It's really quite incredible.
And what do we mean, just as a reminder for our audience, what do we mean by unicorn market status?
So it's about total cumulative number of installations and number of countries the technology is deployed in, and the annual average revenue generated in sales for that technology area. That's the criteria. And I think for unicorn status, I think it's over 50 million in sales a year.
Right. Okay. And so I guess looking at, going back to Molaire, What makes him so successful? Is it the fact that they're offering a nanobubble technology that's just in hot demand in the industry at the moment? Or is it something that, is it something specific about their nanobubble technology? Why Molaire and what's making them stand out?
Well, there's a few things. They've got a very strong management team. Nicholas Diner, the CEO, has got a quite well known in the water industry with the history of GE Water before. The other thing is they've focused very well on one particular market, which is farms and greenhouses. So hydroponics is one of the very many applications of nanobubbles that look very exciting, and they've done quite well to focus in on one of them because there are so many things you can do with nanobubbles. It's good for improving lake water quality, advanced oxidation, softening water. It can be used for equipment cleaning because the property of nanobubbles means they're better at gas transfer. So it's good for all kinds of applications. It's even being used in medical applications and cancer treatment and hydroponics. And what Molay have done is successfully focus on that main niche of food production and done it very well.
Yeah, I must say, farms and greenhouses aren't the typical applications that come to mind when you say nanobubbles. I think of industrial wastewater treatment applications, perhaps oil and gas. So yeah, certainly they seem to have found a niche there and perhaps a first mover advantage into those markets.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, it's a big enough nanobubbles is going to be a huge market, and there's so many applications that there's going to be plenty of room for other companies to come along behind and fill those other niches too. But I'm sure that Molay will also be looking to get into them too.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much for that sum up, Reese. Very interesting. We'll continue to follow all of those areas and not long to go now before we have our research insights from the month of January, our first month of 2024, to share next week. So thanks very much for that. In terms of upcoming events related to Blue Tech research, we do have a webinar coming up on lithium and water, I believe. I don't know if you have the details in terms of dates and times for that webinar.
Yep, that's on the 25th, so Thursday next week, 25th of January, and we'll be talking about advances in direct lithium extraction and yeah, just the whole water value chain within lithium, which is also a huge growth area.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. And if your Blue Tech client's listening to this podcast, please make sure you are registered for that web briefing next week. And if you haven't received a registration link, please do feel free to reach out to myself, Reese, or really anybody from the Blue Tech team, and we'll send on the link to you. Otherwise, have a fantastic week and yeah, enjoy the week there too, Reese.
Thanks,
Thanks
Stevie.
very
You
much.
too. Bye for now.
Bye.